and welcome to the Peninsula Health Intern and Resident Podcast. I'm Sarah McKenzie, and in this podcast, I'm going to take you through my five top tips for how to improve your handovers. Storytelling skills are really important for doctors. It's one of the many skills that you're expected to be great at from day one as a doctor, but often don't get much explicit training in how to do it. The art of telling an engaging, structured and succinct story, mentioning only the most relevant pieces of information, is actually a lot harder than it seems. I think that only a relatively small percentage of all doctors, including specialists, have completely mastered this art, and it's something we could all consciously work on improving. I do feel like in ED we are slightly behind the eight ball sometimes. On one hand, we probably do the most referring of all doctors in the hospital, so get the most practice at our storytelling skills. But on the other, we also have to try and sell patients who are so undifferentiated that a lovely packaged handover is a distant dream. Add to this the time pressures in ED environment and the unrelenting number of distractions we have makes referring patients and handing them over sometimes seem quite sloppy, and it can be quite stressful. And so to the point of this podcast, perhaps one of the first times you've had the chance to sit down and reflect on your handover technique. Tip number one, don't underestimate how important a good handover is. Poor communication is one of the most critical factors in the causation of medical errors. Some report it to be attributable to 70% of all errors. These errors could be a delayed or incorrect diagnosis or treatment, failure of critical results to being followed up, or tests being duplicated. Handovers are any transfer of professional responsibility, either temporary, like when you go for a break, or permanent, such as when you hand over at the end of your shift, or when your patient leaves the department to the care of an inpatient team or to the GP. Do remember, though, that whilst we refer patients early when they require inpatient beds to start the process of finding them a bed in a timely fashion, whilst your patient remains in the department, they remain your responsibility. And if something changes between when you've referred the patient and when they leave your care, you need to update the person who's taking over the handover. This update's often in the form of a note in the medical record for minor changes, but needs to be verbal for significant ones. A great handover contains only relevant information, only correct information, and this means no making up answers to those hairy questions from the medical registrar hoping that you're right. It occurs in a timely fashion and it's delivered in a structured fashion. Tip number two. The use of a standardised format such as ISBAR is a perfect way to structure your handover. ISBAR is adapted to a huge range of circumstances by many different healthcare professionals. It's not just for verbal handovers between doctors. As such, you'll need to adapt your use of the ISBAR depending on whether you're using it to speak to the consultant in charge of the ED for some advice, refer a new patient to an inpatient service, give an updated plan to the nursing staff on what you'd like to do with your patient, give a handover on SU ward round, or use ISBAR to structure your written notes. Like all good stories, ISBAR is structured to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Tip number three, start with a strong beginning. Identify yourself, including your role, the person who you're talking to. Remember, it's always quite embarrassing when you start telling the neurology registrar about prostatitis, when Switchboard misunderstands your pronunciation and you fail to confirm who you're talking to. And finally, identify your patient by giving their name and UR number as a minimum. Complete your opening act by giving a strong, attention-grabbing headline about what's going on. In the case of referring a patient for admission, this is stating what the patient's diagnosis is and that you're ringing to make a referral for an admission. Tip number four, don't lose momentum and descend into verbal diarrhea when describing the background to the patient's current condition. Keep it succinct. Give only relevant information about the presenting complaint, past medical and sometimes a social history. Breeze on from your snappy background into the description of your assessment, including your clinical assessment, the information you have from investigations so far, and finally the important bits of what you've done for the patient so far. Tip number five, make your finale worthy of a standing ovation. Remember the R's, recommendation, requests, and risks. In this section, list your plan for the patient and the things that are outstanding that you would like the other person to do. If this was a handover to a nurse after you've seen a patient, you might perhaps ask them to please administer some medicines and tell them that you plan to send the patient home after an x-ray. If it was to refer to a patient for an inpatient admission, you might tell the medical registrar your plan after you've agreed with an ED consultant and request that they check the results of the pending urine analysis and thyroid function. And there we are. 5 top tips on how to improve your clinical handovers, remembering that there's no one-size-fits-every-situation approach, but using a structure like ISBAR makes a huge difference and makes you better at saving lives. As a bonus mini-podcast, following this will be 2 examples of a non-ISBAR referral and an ISBAR referral given to a surgical registrar. In summary, number 1, remember effective handover is critical to patient safety. Number 2, the use of ISBAR allows for a standardised format to structure your handover. Number 3, make sure you identify all 3 relevant people in this conversation. You, the person taking the referral, and the patient. Give an attention-grabbing headline about what the diagnosis is and why you're making the referral. Number 4, don't descend into verbal diarrhea and make your background and assessment sound flabby when sandwiched between your tight introduction and your conclusion. Number 5, make your finale punchy. Don't forget to tell the other person your plan. That's your recommendation and what you want them to do, which is your request.